So, Father, we just thank you for just another time to come together and edify you. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. We just give you the praise, give you the glory. We just thank you for just all that you're working in us and to bring you forth, bringing, you know, Christ in us and out of us. We just praise you for that, Lord. And we just ask you to just bless tonight. You just guide us tonight and just allow us to just fellowship together. And Lord, we just ask that whatever topic, you know, you would like us to speak on, that you'll put it in our hearts and you know, just bring it forth, Lord. And we just thank you for this fellowship, and we thank you for this time. We just call it blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's go ahead and pray. Does anybody need prayer or would like to pray for anybody?
Hey, Tim. Yeah, I do.
Hey, Chris.
My wife is requesting prayer for her niece. She has her niece's name is Ashley. She has suffered some sort of injury to her left leg, and she's suffering quite a bit, and she's turned to the doctors, and there's a lot of questions, and there's nothing being done, and she had asked me to bring her forward for prayer this evening, and I would also, as you folks are praying in your prayer time, would ask that to pray for the Father to give me the courage and the boldness and the strength to somehow have an opening to get to her, Michael's teaching from last night. I think that would do her a lot of good. But my wife had asked that we lift her up this evening.
Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
Do you mind for me, please, brother?
No, that's fine. So, Father, right now we put our faith together for Ashley, Lord, and she's injured her leg, and it sounds like she's getting the runaround, but that's typical of man. And so, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just use this to help her to get her eyes on you, and we just thank you that. That her leg's going to be fine. We just put our faith together that it is healed in Jesus' name. That whatever, you know what's going on, Lord. And we just thank you that we just speak to those muscles and whatever it is. We just call that leg to be restored in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just give you the glory for it. And we just thank you for working it, Ashley. And just, Lord, just give her a dream. Just, you know, just speak to her and just use this to allow her, like you did with me, is a time of, you know, where you kind of put me on the couch and you put me in a season where I couldn't do the things that I was used to doing, and it caused me to really reflect on my life and to get my eyes on you, and you did an awesome miracle in me. And Lord, I just ask you to do the same in Ashley, that you just use this time and just speak to her, and we just pray that, you know, if you know wherever she is with you, Lord, we pray that she'll have a true salvation. And Chris is asking, as far as a door open to possible, you know, to get Michael's teaching to her, and Lord, we just ask you just put on her heart to just a hunger for some truth or an open door, something said to Chris that he can just step in, that he doesn't have to be in works, that you're going to open up the door and to be able to just bring her a little bit of truth, bring her a teaching, you know, bring something forth. And we just thank you, Lord, that for opening up that door. And we just thank you for giving Chris the discernment, the wisdom, and the knowledge to be led of you. Help him to stay in the Spirit. and not to get into his flesh or works, but just to be in the rest and stay in his spirit and be led of you, and just know that you're going to bring glory to this situation. We just thank you for the testimony to come. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else need prayer, want to pray for somebody or lift somebody up in prayer that's on your heart? Okay. How about praise reports? I've got something I can kind of share. I've kind of shared with you guys last week that I've been working at this local college and trying to help them out, and lately I've been working a lot, and it's a lot of physical work and that, and you know, I shared that I was at a point where it just seemed like nothing was going right, and I was getting a little frustrated, and I pretty much came to the Lord, and I just wanted to make sure he was in it, because it just seemed like he wasn't, and he was trying to get my attention, and so I asked for a word. I got an awesome word. I got a confirmation, heaviness, that, you know, condemnation, that, you know, criticalness toward yourself, whatever, you know, just kind of lifted off of me, and the last, I mean, you know, few days, it's just been awesome. The trials haven't quit, but seeing God in it and just having the right attitude and not murmuring or getting frustrated or anything like that, kind of when something happens, just kind of laugh and say, okay, Lord. So I had a situation where it just seems like everything that seems real simple. I had a situation where I was working on a big power burner, and the igniter that ignites this thing was broken, and I ordered a new one, got it in, and I installed this igniter. It was very simple type fix. I pulled it out. It was definitely broken, and put it in, and this thing would not light off at all. I checked everything I knew to check, and I was there to, I think that was before last call, but I was there late, and finally I did pray over it and that, and I ended up came back the next day. I did a little bit of research, and I ended up tearing this thing apart to find, you know, to look at something in there that I was sure was the problem. And I opened this whole thing up, got it all apart, and what I thought was a problem, there was nothing wrong with it. And it was like, Lord, I don't know. I was at a weak point. I said, I don't know what else to do. I couldn't get any support from the manufacturer or anything like that. And I'm like, Lord, I'm at a weak point, and you know, I give this to you, and I don't know what else to do. And I bowed my head, and I'm praying, and I'm in a great place. I'm just Lord, you got to guide me. And I'm praying, and I look down, and I see this little, it looked like a little piece of your real fine thread coming out of this gas line, and I bend over and I look in, and there was a spider's nest built inside the gas line, and I was actually praying, and I opened my eyes and I saw this little string, and it caused me to look down in the gas line. And I found the spider's nest, and that was the whole problem. You know, that probably caused the igniter to burn out, because it just kept trying to ignite and wouldn't ignite. But I just started praising the Lord. It was like, because I asked him, I said, Lord, you got to throw me a bone here, because I'm at a loss. And I'm praying, and all of a sudden I see that, and it was pretty exciting. You know, so that's what I've been doing. I just, Lord, you got to give me wisdom. You got to guide me. And it's been, You know, it's still physical work, but, you know, I've got the joy of the Lord on me. I've got the peace and that. So it's been pretty neat. So yesterday, I'm working in this building, and they've got an auditorium in there, and they had a chapel service that they do in the afternoon. And somebody that works at the school, you know, saw me in the hallway and says, hey, would you like to come to the chapel service? It's about a half hour. And I said, you know what? I'll do that, you know. So I ended up, I went in, I sat in this chapel service, and this is just college students. And so I went in there, and I'm just, I'm in a great place, so this chapel service starts. And really what happened was, is that this is the first day of the spring semester or whatever it was. So the president of the school got up and put on an overhead, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, should they give unto your bosom, you know, that whole thing. And so she puts this up, and whenever I saw that in the past when I was in church, it was usually before the offering, you know, and it was always geared around money. But so the bottom line was, I sat there, and what the president talked about was giving of your time, giving a smile, giving an ear, and then shared a testimony of their life and areas looking back where a career was was drawing them one way, and they decided to volunteer or help out in this other area, and they gave their time, and how that led to this, led to that, and, you know, this whole path that they had no plan on going on, and that path led them to being the president of, you know. And it was, and during this whole presentation, they're just given all the glory to the Lord, and they ended up, now this is a woman that, you know, that's the president, and she pulls out of her pocket a cross, and she says, I've carried this for 30 years on me, and it, you know, proclaims Jesus, and went into when she has a lot of, you know, stress in her life, but when she gets into prayer and gets heard, how the Holy Spirit just comes on her, and there's just a total peace there, and she gets clarity. And it was like, it was amazing. There, just the glory to Christ and glory to the Lord and stuff like that. So, so then another staff member got up and shared how they were the director of agriculture at like a big, I think it was like a big, you know, a community college or something like that, or a college or that, and real good job, real good pay, really loved it, and got a call from his hometown and asked him if he would, you know, be willing to teach agriculture at their high school. And this high school only, I think he said there was only like 275 students in the high school, and it was a very small school. And he to basically said, well, you know what, I'll pray about it, but, you know, let me just pray about it, and left it at that. And he said that he took it to prayer. He had no interest in doing that, he said, but him and his wife took it to prayer, and he said the only thing that was really the draw was to go back to his hometown and be a little bit closer to his family, but the pay was a lot less, and I mean, it was not the prestige or anything like that. And he said he took it to prayer, and the Lord confirmed with him that he was supposed to do that. And he didn't understand that, you know, but it was something that he knew the Lord wanted him to do that. It was like kind of a demotion type thing. So he ended up doing that, and he got to this little high school, and he shared that learning disabled, had real bad dyslexia and had some other issues, and he ended up kind of taking a liking to this kid, and really, you know, his heart was really to help this kid out. And the bottom line is that he was with this kid for 4 years, and the kid finally graduated. And he graduated, I mean, as far as with rewards and honors and all this in this agriculture, you know, program. And the kid did an amazing turnaround, and he really, you know, became kind of, you know, befriended this young man. And he said that during the summer, after this, he graduated, he was driving by his house, and he saw this young man's grandfather sitting out on the front porch. He thought, well, I'm gonna go stop in and, you know, see this young man and go, you know, say hello to his grandfather. And he said that talked to the, you know, young man, and then he went over, talked to the grandfather, and he said, just asked how he's doing, and he said the grandfather told him that he said it was because of him that his son graduated and did so well in high school. And he's like, no, it wasn't me. It didn't have anything to do with me. All I just tried to do is be an encouragement. He says, and the grandfather told him, he said, my son, his freshman year, decided that he's quitting school, and nobody could talk him out of it. Nobody could say anything. And the grandfather told him that, he said, I prayed to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to change his heart and to bring somebody to the school that my grandchild would connect to. And he said, the Lord brought you. And he said, I didn't realize that this was like 4 years later. And he said, I just put into this kid. And he said, now, he said, it's been 20 years. And he's, you know, he's now on staff at this college, but it's been 20 years. But he says this young man, who's not young anymore, he's in, you know, he's probably in his 40s now. He says he calls him every week and, you know, basically says the same. And he said, this young man's called me every week. And he said, right now, this guy's got a huge business. I mean, just an absolute huge agricultural business he's very, you know, he's done very well. I mean, he's very wealthy from his education. And he calls, you know, his old teacher every week to me, you know, just make sure he's doing all right. So I'm sitting there and basically all this was, you know, it was just different staff people getting up and just, you know, just sharing, you know, different stories. And there was a staff member that basically was diagnosed with cancer. And out of the blue, one of the students, you know, didn't know what he could do for them. But all he knew is he could just, you know, go be an encouragement. And one day just knocked on their door. And you know, this person opened up the door, and there was a student there, and said, hey, you know, I heard of your predicament. And He says, the only thing I know to do is pray. Can I come in and pray with you? And this staff member was back that a student would show up at their door and just want to pray. And the student went in and encouraged them and just prayed with them. And basically they shared that the cancer's in remission, you know. So I'm hearing these testimonies, and there was a few more that were shared, and there were just you know, there was another coach that got up and shared a testimony about how, you know, he had gotten the job that he wanted, you know, coaching at an amazing school, and just worked so hard, and then they had a huge game, and it was one of the, I don't know much about sports, but it was a team that was like in the top 10 that they were playing, and you know, they worked so hard for this day, and he said that he gave the Lord the credit for the work, but he knew that his focus was strictly on coaching, and it wasn't really on the Lord, but he kept giving the Lord credit, you know, for the wins and everything going on. And he said this big game came up, and they ended up winning this game, and they weren't expected to win. And he said that after the game, you know, after all the, you know, hoopla was over and all that, he said, you know, he gave the Lord praise for that. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, you've given everything to your coaching. Now I want you to give everything to me. And, you know, he said he had a choice to make at that point, what he was going to do. And he ended up basically leaving that position and, you know, is really, you know, sold out to the Lord. So I'm hearing these. And it was kind of interesting, because it was, I mean, this AG guy was a Baptist, I knew that, and this other guy was a Methodist, and this other person, you know, I don't know, you know, where, you know, one person was like kind of a non-denominational, a few of them I really didn't know their background, but it was interesting that they were giving God the glory, which I thought was pretty awesome. And we know that they're kind of caught up in the apostate system, you know, as far as that. And even this president that, you know, I mean, she's basically, you know, running the school, taking authority over men. But the interesting thing was, is you see in one way where, you know, they're in the, you know, the apostate system, or they're, you know, just not really in, you know, lined up with the Word of God in some areas. But I saw that there was love for the Lord, there was praise for the Lord, there was testimonies coming forth, cancer being, you know, put into remission, and they were giving God the glory for all that, and they're coming from all different backgrounds, and I was really thinking about that, is there's people that truly love the Lord and don't know, you know, where they're at, and I was really seeing where I had criticized some of these people, and I really came to a point where it was like, I just need to pray for these people. I don't need to criticize them. I need to love them, you know, where they're at, because I know the Lord loves them where they're at. And I just need to pray for them and pray that they'll come into more of the truth and have a hunger for more of the truth. And the Lord has got to do it. He's got to, you know, change their hearts. And, you know, we need to be a light, and we need to be love. And we can't have any pride in us thinking that we're better.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is... Please try your call again later.
All right, I think we got that. But the bottom line was, it really, sitting in that situation, I was really able to see how I had to get my heart right in that situation, and then I had to get my heart right people, and just try to be a light, and just, you know, the things I see, I need to just pray about. The things I discern, I just need to pray about. I need to keep my eyes on the Lord and just don't think that I'm anybody, because I've got a deeper knowledge of the Word, or, you know, I see the error that they are in. So it was kind of a neat and humbling situation, but it was kind of neat that, you know, hearing testimonies coming from different areas, and you know, so it kind of blessed me and got me to really reflect as far as in some of this, and you know, just try to see it how God sees. These guys, these people might not have the fullness, but man, they were just really giving glory to the Lord. And it kind of took me back as far as how much glory and how much praise and how much they were really doing as far as in their lives. It was kind of neat. So, all right, I just want to share that, and let's see if anybody else has got any thoughts on that or any testimonies.
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Gaynold. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Thank you so much for what you just shared. It's just, I just could say that is what the Lord has been speaking to me so much, especially since we just, you know, getting back from visiting our girls and their families. And just, you know, to love them and just be persistent in prayer is so much what he has spoken. And then I know that his promise is for household salvation, but you know, it's so easy to believe those words when you're not looking at what's going on. But when you go to their house, it just adds another perspective and makes it more difficult to just look past it. And I know with all my heart, I let what I was seeing and what I was hearing, I just, you know, I let it put doubt and unbelief in my heart, and probably unforgiveness, and just, I think perhaps I was expecting that I was going to hear something and see something different than what was actually there. So after coming home, it was like, I think I would have felt better had I not gone, you know, because I truly felt I was just kind of depressed. And yesterday I had really kind of a difficult day. But this morning the Lord spoke to me, and I know this word was just for me, and I don't know whether it would speak to anyone else or not. But, you know, he's just speaking to me just very, like, as a child, which is what I need to be. You know, I need to hear that as a child, because that's where I need to be. And so I think I will read it, and then I will share the scripture that he gave me, because it was so what I need morning, and it has just really helped me to get me out of, I guess I'll call it the pity party I was in, you know, in the few days since we've been back. So I'm going to read what I felt that he was speaking to me this morning. Come to me, sit at my feet, and listen carefully to all I have to say to you. Be assured of the truth of my words. Let my words sustain you. What I speak to you will always agree with my written word. Sometimes my words will bring you encouragement and comfort. Other times my words will seem stern and difficult to hear. Above all, know that I speak to you from a heart of love and with a good purpose and a plan for you. Let my words be a curb to keep you on the straight and narrow path. There are times when I will give you a gentle nudge, and there are times when the trials I send will seem extreme. No matter the level of your trial, receive it with thanksgiving and a knowing that I am truly doing a work in you. Rejoice in your trials, cooperate with me, and you will be amazed where I will take you. The strength and resilience you will receive from me to be an overcomer. I am here to take your burdens. I am able to do all that I've said I will do. You must put all your trust in me, not in yourself or others. Those things you see as so impossible are possible only with me. There is no limit to my power and authority. I am sovereign over all. Stand on my word. Your faith will grow as you face the reality of my faithfulness to my people. My arm is not too short. I will draw all who are mine unto myself. As they turn to me, I will welcome them with open arms. My love endures forever. I will give them grace to repent and come to me, and I will put in them the desire for my word and to abide with me. The trials of these days are on their hearts and minds more than you know. I see their hearts and the searching in their souls. All this they hide from you. They want you to see confidence and self-assuredness, so you will not be concerned. Give them to me. Believe for household salvation and more. Stand in faith for each of them. Know I keep my word. Let my peace fill your spirit. Rest in me. And the scripture that I got was Psalm 43, or 143. And I would like to read that. There are 12 verses, but it was just such a blessing to me today. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight, no man living is righteous. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in dark places as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. And when I was reading that verse, the thing that has been going around in my mind is when our children were small, and actually at the time we didn't realize they were doing it, but they would get pieces of notebook paper and staple them together, and each one of them had a prayer journal, and it was really kind of awesome. After we had had a house fire, and many years later, my husband was going through boxes of stuff that we had put out in a barn when we had to move everything out, and he ran across those prayer journals, and it was just, it was amazing the things they prayed for. And it was just a testimony that they did know him at that time. And they believed him to answer their prayers. And they would write down the answers to their prayers. And anyway, I was kind of recalling that the other day as I was thinking about them. I will go on with verse 6. I spread forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a weary land. Make haste to answer me, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. In thy righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble, and in thy loving kindness, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. That just really blessed me, because I know I had just I had let, you know, those spirits of condemnation and all those things that like to come in and just make you feel that you've just really failed God and you just really missed it. And, you know, as they were talking about those things that they felt were the most important, it was, you know, the things of the world. And both of our sons-in-law were speaking that, you know, their children had to go to college. There was, you know, they didn't have a choice. They were going because they had to in order to make it in life. And, if, you know, you so badly want to just say, no, God needs to be number one. You can't make it without him. But knowing that that would not be received, you know, at that time, because that wouldn't be what they could hear. And I don't know, it just, I guess the Lord just really had to speak to me, and I had to really repent of letting that those spirits come in, because they did, and it was like, you know, condemnation and doubt and unbelief, and I know God's word well. I know his promises. And I think, you know, that breaks his heart when I go and get into doubt and unbelief. That's just, and I'm really thankful that Marlon doesn't fall into that. You know, he keeps saying, now, you can't go there. You can't go there. And I'm thankful that the Lord has really, you know, made him strong to stand for them and to not doubt. And, you know, I just pray that the Lord will put, you know, his word in them. And that's what he is, basically what he told me. You know, he's working on them, and it's at his pace. It's not, you know, it's not when I think it should be done, but he knows. He knows the timing. And so I thank him for his word, and I just thank him that he takes the time to set me straight and get me on that path. And so I guess that was all that I wanted to share. I also did want to say that on our way out, we had just a really blessed time with Jeff and Terry in Mountain Home, Idaho. We stopped there because it was right along our way. We gave them a call, and I just want to thank them for taking the time, and the time that we shared together was really, it was a blessing to us. And thank you, Jeff and Terry. And I guess that's really all that I wanted to say.
No, that's an amazing word that he gave you. You know, what happens is that we want so much for our kids to, you know, be following the Lord, and I run into the same thing as I've got one of my sons that is really wants to be in, you know, God's will, and I've got another son who, you know, knows God's word, knows his truth and all that, and is basically, you know, in the world right now. And it tugs on, you know, being parents, it kind of tugs on you to see them, you know, where they're at. And what happens is that, you know, it's, you know, the fear kind of comes in, or where are they going to end up, or what's going to happen to them, or, and that's the enemy, and that's where you get, you know, the enemy gets us into that doubt, and that doubt is basically unbelief, and it gets us, you know, and it's just, and I really see that, where he's really trying to help, because we're going through the same thing, and I think everybody in this room can relate in one way or another, where he's really trying to teach us to be, because what happened was, is you visited there, and you're seeing how they're living, you're seeing what's going on, you don't see Christ, you see them being pulled in the world, and you know, college is so important, because their fear is if they don't go to college, then they're not going to be able to get a good job. And where, so, you know, the parents have fear of their kids, and you know that they're going to end up on Skid Row if they don't go to college. And so fear is really matter, and you know, and it draws us into the emotions, and it draws us into the worry and anxieties and all that. And it's exactly where the enemy wants us, because you know we're being led by our what we're hearing,
emotion rather than the spirit.
You know what we're seeing. You know we're being led, and we got to get into the spirit. And he's teaching us that we got to, you know, we've got to be walking in the spirit. We got to be in faith, and you know we can't be in works. You know, he just wants us praying, believing, and just standing in for him, because right now that's where he needs us. He needs us to be intercessors for our families. We need us, you know, intercessors for the people we work with. You know, just he's putting us in these situations. We're seeing people making mistakes. We're seeing them because of their immaturity things, and we want to help them. And we're trying to, because we've been down that path, and they don't want to listen to us. They want to make their own decisions. They think they know what they're doing and all this. And sometimes we just got it. We got, you know, you can try to give them a little advice, but when that wall goes up, you just got to step back and start praying. But
by the world's standards, they're doing very well, you know, by the world's standards, because they have good jobs and they're in good schools, and they're, you know, when you would look at it, you look at just that, it looks like everything's just great. But when you don't see, you know, any time spent with the Lord, it that's the disturbing part, and they just don't realize the importance. And
right.
But I know the Lord is the one that can, he's the only one that can draw them. No one else can do anything about it. It has to be his work. I know that. And
so this, you know, and the word you got was awesome. He's saying, you know, come to me, hear me, you know, I'm your assurance, you know, you got to trust in my word. You got to trust what I'm telling you. You got to rejoice in everything I'm doing. And, you know, you got to, you know, these trials are for you, you know, it's just what he's speaking to you is, you know, he's taking your burden, you know, he's,
right,
you know, get your eyes on me. Don't get your eyes on them. You know, get your eyes, you know, don't go by what you're seeing in the natural. You got to get your eyes on me in the spiritual. And
I know when we were driving home, I was just, as I was riding along, I was thinking, what a blessing it is that they do live many states away, because it's easy to believe for the work that he's doing in them when you're not with them, when you're not seeing them. And I'm not insinuating that they're bad people. They're not bad people, but you know, you just want them to know the Lord, and that was,
well, that's, yeah, that's the mother's heart, you know, and yeah. You know, Trish goes through that, and you know, it's just we go through the same trials, but even the Psalms you got was just awesome, man. It was like, don't get into judge. No one's righteous, you know, not even you, you know. It's like,
it was an awesome scripture.
I mean, the whole thing is just shows how much your Father loves you and is trying to get you to, and all of us, it's just all of us, get our eyes on him. Everything going around us is just distractions. I mean, it's a distraction in one way if we react to it in the natural. If we, you know, if we react to it, we get pulled into our emotions, or or that, you know, we're just, you know, it gets us out of faith. If it, you know, if we get into doubt and unbelief and fear and anxiety and all this, what's going to happen? And, you know, it's exactly where the enemy wants us, because we're not in faith. So he's trying to teach us, just keep our eyes on him in all situations. You know, what we hear, what we see, what us, you know, we can take it to prayer. We can just, you know, try to, you know, just believe for them, and just stay in the rest. You know, we can do more in the rest and in prayer than, you know, allowing the enemy to pull us into, you know, the, you know, doubt and unbelief, you know, so.
Because well, the way he feels our peace, for sure.
He does everything to get our eyes off of the Lord and, you know, out of faith, and tries to get us into unbelief, mm-hmm. or fear. Fear is total opposite of faith. Unbelief is total, you know, it's just... That's where the enemy tries to bring us, and that's what this walk is all about. We go through these trials, and you know, you picked up, you know, you saw that the Lord gave you that awesome word. You just saw where, you know, what happened, and you know, so the next time you can, you know, just you learn from that, and you know, that's how we're overcomers. It's like, wow, Lord, how did I get pulled into those emotions? How did I get into that judgment? How did I get into that fear? Just, you know, help me, Lord. You need to take that out of me. So that's
nope. that dying to self thing.
I know, it's just yeah, it's like, oh, it's so hard to die to self. You know, it's when you think you're there, then he brings another trial and shows you,
right,
that you got a little bit more work to do, so.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was really what I wanted to share, and especially after you shared what you did, I thought, oh my goodness, I could say ditto, ditto, ditto all the way through what you were saying. So, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's the awesome thing about just sharing testimonies, because what we're going through, somebody else is going through, and, you know, so it encourages and it helps, you know, from that standpoint. So, you know, and we're all dealing with all, you know, different aspects, but it's all the same thing. It's just, it's all trying to keep us on that narrow path and showing us what's in us, you know, that little criticism, that little judgment, that little fear, that little, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, so he keeps bringing those to the surface so we can address them, and
we know it's still there. We thought it wasn't, and it is.
I know. So we got to go around the mountain again, and
yeah.
But
well,
it's
thank
just
you. And, yeah.
Amen. So, all right, who else has got a thought or?
I just wanted to say thanks, Gaynell, for sharing that. I've been struggling with that for the past 3 days myself. And I'm going to look up that psalm and meditate on it. And Jeff and I also wanted to say we really enjoyed visiting with you guys. But thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you, too. God bless you.
All right. Who else has got?
Kim.
Hey, Cheryl.
Yes, that's exactly what I've been going through, and that I was hesitant in saying I had a testimony, because I also want to bring forth into light a stronghold that I've had for many years, that if you, you know, bring something at me, say something's going good, something's going to come along, and it's going to, you know, make it turn bad, so I just kept it to myself. So I want to cast that stronghold down, and I want to bring it into the light, and I want to cast that fear out and trust in the Lord that he's not going to let the work that he's doing in my children fail, and that there are days that there's highs and there's lows, and to cast down what my eyes see and what my emotions feel and what my ears hear. And I just praise the Lord for the testimonies and for the humbling of my heart and confession that I have also, tried to make my children or, kind of push my children in certain ways and not allowing the Lord to do his work in them and trying to, make them do what I feel they needed to do. And I just want to get back into rest, and I want to ask the Lord to forgive me for getting out of the rest and into works and unbelief and getting back under the law. And I don't want to be under the law. That's what I've been under all my life, and I don't want to curse myself or my children or anybody else that I may try to put under the law. And I just want to praise the Lord that my son, his father, he had drank all his life, and my son has never knew his father because he died from alcohol poisoning, and I broke all the generational curses of alcoholism and drug abuse, and I just see how the Lord is gradually working in my son in overcoming. And it's a decision that he has to make. I can tell him all, I've been down that road and all that, but I just thank the Lord that he's made me get back in the rest and just pray and believe and bind up and cast down and do the works, instead of, just trying to do it with my words with him. And he's... I'd given him some papers, when I first came to UVM, I went through a lot of stuff before I came to UVM, and I was kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord just made me, lose my mind for a season, and praise the Lord that he brought me to truth and drew me out of all that, and delivered me from many demons and strongholds, and brought me to the truth that I so prayed for all my life, but I also was entangled in the web of deception and all kinds of things that through generational curses and through things that sins that I fell into, and so I never thought I would understand the word like I did, and I just want to praise the Lord for bringing me to the truth, and I want to continue to trust in him that he's gonna answer my prayers like he so has in the past, coming out of what I went through is just amazing, because I was drawn out of the pits of hell and brought to truth. And I thank the Lord for that. So I kind of become like an incredible witness to my family because of the things that I went through. They thought, they knew I was crazy there for a while. And so some of the things that after I got, the Lord brought me to sanity and to truth and deliverance and onto a firm foundation. They kind of believed that the ministry, David's ministry, was like a cult. So nobody would want to hear anything or read anything from the ministry. So, I didn't push it no more on them, and then so gradually I would be giving my son a transcript, and he just thanked me today for giving them to him, and so now he's able to accept them, whereas before they pushed him away thinking it was, an occult or something. So I just thank the Lord that where he's taken my son in his deliverance from alcohol and drugs and all the other things that, you know, he was bound in through generational curses. And I'm continuing to pray because I'm seeing that all my brothers, all the ones that I've been praying for, little by little, the Lord is working these things out of them. And so I'm learning also to just rest and pray and not trying to push, because it's so hard that to see your loved ones going in the direction that they're going in, and in fear, you know, I mean, that's a horrible place to be, and they don't even know. Just like I when I was in that delusion or whatever, where I went through, I didn't even know I was headed straight for hell, and I just praise the Lord that he had mercy and grace, and that he's been long-suffering with me, I'm glad to be in my right mind and having the truth and having been brought to a beautiful family in Christ. And I just praise the Lord for each and every one of you, and I'm understanding more and more about the body and just observing and seeing how it works, because I never saw it in the apostate churches. So I just praise the Lord, and I thank you for if any of y'all have ever prayed for me, I just praise the Lord for the prayers and the first church.
Amen. That just blessed me. I just the truth sets you free.
Amen.
And I just, and sometimes we want so bad for our family, our loved ones, to come into that truth because we see them bound up. And sometimes the Lord needs to get us unbound first and teach us to walk the faith, teach us to be an intercessor, and just to pray and believe and to get the truth in us and let, you know, get to a point where we can, you know, just be a light. We can be a testimony. We can share testimonies. And then he can use that, you know, to some of our loved ones, you know, when they're heading down that path. And, you know, but it sounds like, I mean, the Lord's done an amazing work in you. You know, if you were at, you know, a point of insanity or whatever it is, and just getting the truth in you, and how he's, you know, what a deliverance. I mean, it's just, and it's just coming into that truth. And, and you know, people want to find fault with everything, you know, because they really don't want the truth, or they don't want to leave the sect they're in, or they don't want to grow in the Lord, or, you know, I don't know what all the excuses are, but, you know, most people, the world tries to find the negative in everything. But first, you know, the Lord led you to the, you know, to the ministry, and you got a good foundation underneath you. You got the, you know, the true gospel in you. You got some prayer and deliverance, and you see what the Lord has done in your life, and you just have to believe that for your family and your son. And you're seeing him starting to work in their lives, you know. And you know, and it's interesting where what I'm going through, what Gaynold's going through, what Terry's going through, and what you're going through is basically we've got the same things going on, just at different levels or different situations. And you know, that's why it's awesome where we can come and share. And what you said in the beginning, as far as I'm shining light on it, and that's what we need to do, is just shine light and give the Lord the praise, because He's doing it. He's doing it in you, He's doing it in your son, and He's gonna do it in your family. You just got to keep believing that and praying that. And He's got to change their heart, and so as you keep praying and keep believing and stay in the rest and don't get into works, you're going to allow Him to do it. And and every time we try to do it ourselves, then He just stands back until we get frustrated, and then we go crying back to Him because it isn't working, and he's like, "You gonna let me do it, or are you gonna do it?" "Yes, Lord, okay." And just, you know, get back into the faith, and the thing is we just, it's in His timing. We want it now, you know. We're a now society where, Lord, we just, you know, we want these miracles to happen right now, but. He's working our faith in us while He's, you know, working in them. So I've kind of shared, I'll share a little, you know, we had one of our sons was very difficult, very rebellious, and if you disciplined him, you know, this is when he was little, he would get even. And it was it was very difficult. It was very trying. It was every day. We had gotten to a point, and, you know, this is, you know, more Trisha's testimony, but we'd really gotten to a point where she was ready to just give up. And that's basically what she did. She said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore." You know, and, you know, she was in her own works trying to, you know, do it, and that finally got to a point where she was so frustrated, just didn't know what else to do, and just finally just took it to the Lord and says, "I can't do this anymore." And that's what he was waiting for. And right after that situation, the Lord changed my son's heart, and he came down and he said, "You know, Mom, I decided that I'm going to give up anger," you know, and he, it was awesome. It was just, you know, he saw what he was doing, and he came down, and, you know, and he opened up his heart to the Lord, and he wanted to give up anger and all this, but it was when we got out of our works, when it was, we were at that point where we just couldn't do it anymore, and we gave it to the Lord, then he did it, you know. So but that's, we got to keep doing that. So that's walking in faith, you know. So thanks for sharing that, Cheryl, and one day I'd like to hear a little bit more of your testimony, because it sounds like an awesome testimony.
And I want to bring things to light, because I know, like, because pride keeps us from confessing these things, and that's Satan, and I don't want him ruling on the throne anymore. And so I'm praying that he'll give, he'll bring forth the testimony that I can, it won't sound so crazy, because it was a very crazy time. To be able to put it in words and not sound like I'm babbling, I just pray that the Lord will bring it forth as a testimony that may help someone someday. And so I'm looking forward to that too. God bless y'all.
Amen. Yeah, just I would just kind of list the highlights as far as the just ask the Lord what, you know, and just, you know, kind of write down the highlights, and then and it doesn't matter. I mean, we've all been in crazy situations. I mean, we've all been, it doesn't matter where you've been. It's where you're at now, you know. So where you've been, there's other people that are there or have been there, or you're going to run across, and it might sound crazy, you know, at the time, but, you know, there's people that are in the same exact situation that you were in that you're going to be able to bless by your testimony. And the thing is, it's you sharing your testimony, and everybody in this room or everybody that listens to this broadcast can use that testimony to people they know are going through the same situation. You know, that's the power of the testimony. So, I'd love to. When Amen. You know, pray about
for
it
for the glory of God too. So I mean, I give God all the glory, because it's just amazing. It's just amazing how it all worked out, it's only God, and I just thank the Lord that He did bring me out of the pit and gave me, you know, another chance, and then right afterwards brought me to truth. So it was just, and all my life I've had a hard time believing that the Lord loved me, and because all my life Satan's always, you know, wanted me to kill myself. So I just thank the Lord that He never allowed Satan to totally take me out, because I surely wouldn't have any chance of being in heaven, I know, if I ever went before today. And I'm praying, you know, that I will even be, you know, that I have enough fruit that I'll be accepted in heaven. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
No, that's a point that, the enemy wants to take us all out, but you know, really coming to a place where you know, and that's why I love these. Is what Gaynold shared tonight. I just saw the love of the Father in that. That that there was just so much love of the Father in that, giving her that, you know, that that word and the psalm, and it was just, I just saw just love. It was like He loves her so much that you know, and that's it. And a lot of times we skew that love of the Father, and because a lot of us don't know what love really, I didn't know what love was. All I knew was lust, and I didn't have. I had parents who loved me, but my father was just a real disciplinary type person, you know, ex-military, just my way or the highway. And that's how I saw my Heavenly Father. I didn't feel like a son. I felt like a servant. And I just felt like He wanted to set me up so He could spank me. And sometimes our love of God and His love for us gets skewed from our past or from our understanding, you know, as far as that. And when we can get to that point and really understand His love for us and have love for Him for saving us and taking us out of the pit, like you're saying, because we're all pretty much, we're there in one way, you know. And there was a point where I thought I was saved, and I look back now and I was not saved. I was, you know, I was in total deception, and for His love to bring me into the truth, and the more truth I've come into, the more the bondage has fallen off. And the more I've given up and seen, you know, the unforgiveness or judgment or pride or arrogance, as these trials come and he's shown me, lifted those things to the surface, and I was like, man, I just, you know, that's what he's doing in all of us. He's lifting these things to the surface so we can, you know, repent, whatever it is, and you know that's his love for us. You know, because he wants us all in his kingdom, and we just have to just walk in as much, you know, in the obedience that you know, that, you know, what we can, you know, just do our best, and you know, and just keep our eyes on him, just see the love and be love, you know. So amen. All right, anybody else want to brag on the Lord?
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
Hey. I got a little testimony. Today, David and I were on the side of a hill in front of the house. We were cutting down an old tree that had died out. It was still a lot of good wood in it. And I cut that thing, and it caught up in another tree. And it was about at a, I don't know, about a 30-degree angle, stabbed into the ground. And it was pretty good-sized tree. We hooked the tractor to it. We got a big old long rope that we use a lot to the woods and bring them up there where we can cut them up and split them. And we tied that thing on there and couldn't move it, so I cut it again up above it, probably about 3 foot, 3 or 4 foot. And cut it almost all the way through, and I had him yank on it, and it wouldn't budge. And so we did that until we broke the rope. He'd get up there, and they would get on the tractor and gun it and try to pull that thing out from under it, you know, so it'd come out of that tree. And it broke the rope, so we had to braid another hook on it. And while he was doing that, I went ahead and cut another, went up above that one, probably another couple of foot, and cut it again, and cut it pretty near almost all the way through. And that thing still was hung, man. I mean, it was hung. Anyway, we got the rope back fixed and tried to pull on it again and couldn't budge it. So we both just got down there and looked at it. What's holding this thing up? And David walked around and he said, "Ain't nothing but God holding that thing up." And as soon as he said that, that tree came down. And it was just amazing. I mean, it just as soon as he said that, that tree came out of that other tree and came down, and we took it on up to the top of the hill and chopped it up. I thought that was an amazing thing. God held that tree up for us so he could get the credit, you know, and soon as it came down, an angel could turn it loose.
Amen.
There was nothing holding that thing up. I mean, there was no reason for it not to come down other than God was just holding it up there. And then as soon as he said that, that thing came down. I mean, it was, he didn't no more get it out of his mouth than that thing came down. That was amazing.
Amen. Just keeps, wants us to keep our eyes on him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Give him the glory.
Oh, yeah. I've got
awesome.
I've got something I'd like to share. When if nobody else has got anything to share, it's Rob Miller emailed me today something on that thing that Joe had talked about last night. I had asked a question about the adulterous Roman that they were going to stone, and they brought him up there to Jesus, you know, and I wanted to know why they didn't bring the man up there, you know. And if I can, I'd like to go ahead and read his explanation. That he said he had studied this, had some study into it some time back, and had some insight into it, if you think it's all right now.
Well, does anybody else have anything they'd like to comment on or bring out?
Yo, Tim.
Hey, Bart.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Michael, there was a story that I heard a long time ago from a work associate where I used to work at that told me the story from his... See, he's a native of Guatemala, and he was driving trucks at the time. And he told me the story. This was a while ago, but it fits right in with the story that you just gave. This not necessarily work associate. They, I guess you could characterize the terrain in Guatemala as somewhat challenging. Not a lot of roads, and so maybe a little bit more so than here. You know, running across the paths of other guys shipping things with the trucks that that they're driving, and ran across a guy that had a flat. This is somewhere 8-9 in the morning. Fairly early, start of the work day, and this guy had a flat, and they, my work associate, he came across this guy and offered to help him, and he said, no, I got it. And in the process of changing his truck tire, and so he went ahead and traveled along to pick up a load, and on the way back, he ran across this guy again on this, on the same patch of road, and he's still struggling with this flat tire. And he stopped to give him a hand, and this is like, you know, maybe an hour or two later. And the guy is still struggling to try to put the new, the spare tire, the spare truck tire on his truck. And he's struggling with it, and he's struggling with it, and he, hey, can I give you a hand? And he goes, no, I got it. And somehow the subject of God entered the discussion as, well, do you need to pray about it, or is it something that's God related, you know, something like that. And the truck driver said, no, I got it. This should be a simple thing to take the spare tire and put it onto the axle. He's struggling and struggling and struggling with it. And I can't remember so much as to how much he helped him or didn't help him or stood by. But the way he proceeded with the story was that it was getting late in the day, about a good maybe 5-7 hours devoted on just struggling, trying to get the spare tire onto the axle. And they would try to shim the axle up, shim it down, try to, you know, get the tire positioned just so that he could not get it on there. Finally, after about 6-7 hours, he relented. And my buddy goes, well, okay, are you ready now? Are you done? And you'll want to pray about it. And he looked at the situation, the time involved, the time wasted throughout the entire day trying to just get the tire onto the axle. And I think the way it was he had the axle position in such a way that he had his back now pressed against the tire, as he's just, you know, near the point of exhaustion. He's hoping that maybe with leg pressure to get the spare rim to break the plane of the bolts that he's trying to get the tire onto. And the guy he exhaled and finally he relented and okay, I'm not making much progress here. I'm spent. And he decided to go ahead and pray, and he started to pray, and right as the beginning of the prayer that he was giving, broke the plane of his lips. God, can you help me get, the moment they crossed the plane of his lips, and as he spoke them, the wheel slammed right through the bolts onto the axle, and it was now on the axle, and it happened just that fast.
Seems like a type in a shadow for a lot of us, where we get into works first, and we, we do everything possible before we pray. And we exhaust ourselves and then come to that point of weakness and finally pray, and then God comes through, you know?
Yeah.
I've shared this before, but I'll kind of, just kind of reminded me, but there was somebody that was driving to Tennessee. And they called up and they asked for prayer for, you know, that the Lord would get them there safe, they'd have no issues with their car. And David prayed with them. And they ended up, they actually took some tires off of another vehicle, rims off another vehicle, and put it on their vehicle before they left. And so they went on this journey across the country. They got here. They were, you know, here for a while, and then they needed brakes. And they had a family member that was visiting, you know, came to visit. And he was an ex-mechanic, used to work on race cars and all this. And he says, oh, I can throw some new, you know, brake shoes on there. And he ended up throwing, you know, some new pads on there, and he went to put the tires on, and they would not go on. And he struggled with this. He ended up changing the calipers because they were hitting the calipers. I mean, he struggled with this for 5 or 6 days and got to a place where he had to go, you know, he had to go home. His vacation was over, and he was in absolute tears because he could not get these tires to spin. You know, they would just, as soon as he put them on, he just couldn't get these tires on. And it broke him. It actually broke him because nothing made sense. And what happened was, David went over there. I don't know if it was Michael or, you know, a couple guys went over there to, you know, after he had left. And they basically laid hands on this vehicle, they prayed over it, and then they put the tires on, and they went right on, they spun, they put the lug nuts on and everything. It was the prayer, the wheels that were on there shouldn't have fit this vehicle, but when they prayed, the Lord allowed these, you know, these tires to work. And when this guy tried to put him back on, he couldn't get him to go back on until they prayed again, you know, until, you know, David, you know, had prayed and these things went back on. And it was something that worked in this guy. And this guy's is a baby Christian today. And, you know, it was something that the Lord used to work in him. But it was kind of a neat story like that, you know. So it was kind of cool. So, all right. Anybody else have anything? is on their heart they'd like to bring forth? Testimony or anything?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Chad.
I had a dream last month. I felt the Lord wanted me to share tonight, so.
Awesome.
I've been getting a little bit of revelation on it. It was very encouraging, so I'm just going to bring it forth, and if the Lord wants to reveal anything else tonight, or, you know, maybe it's just for some folks to ponder, we'll just see what the Lord does with it. So I had this dream back on December 16th, just this last December. Let's see, I dreamed I was having a friendly conversation with Mr. Obama. We were right outside of a large building of some sort. It was very bright outside where we were, and it was like the large building was kind of, it's kind of like I was, let's see, as I remember right at first, as I remember it at first, Mr. Obama was sitting off to my right, to my left, and he was sitting in like kind of a tall chair. It looked like a director's chair, and the chair was black. And he was just talking with me. I had no idea. I have no idea what was said. You know, that obviously wasn't important for what the Lord was showing in this dream. But he was just talking to me. And so let's see. I'll just continue reading this because I wrote it down. But the Lord's bringing, you know, other details to my mind too as I'm sharing. So let's see. It was very bright outside where we were, and the large building next to us. It was kind of like the building was, I was facing the building, and it was just like a huge dark shadow. I knew it was a building. It almost seemed something kind of like maybe the White House, only not. Just this huge building, but it was like it was a dark shadow. The building was a huge dark shadow at the same time it was a building. And so I guess maybe that was something, that'd be something like seeing parallel in the spirit as well as the natural. And let's see. Yeah, it was like a large looming shadow. So Mr. Obama was sitting on a somewhat tall black chair to my left, and a sister in the Lord brought to my attention when I shared this dream with her a while ago that she thought it was like a director's chair, you know, like him being the director of the GOAT. So I've been pondering that. It kind of made sense. So anyway, as I said, I don't know what was said in the conversation, but I remember feeling carefully respectful in my attitude toward him as we talked. Like I didn't feel any, you know, anything bad towards him. I just felt to be very, very polite, right? Not out of like a fear of man or a fear of the enemy, just out of a respect, I believe, as unto the Lord, you know, as fearing the Lord. And well, then next in the dream, he's right in front of me, and it's even lighter outside. The big dark looming shadow building is like right behind him, and he's turned around. He's facing me, sitting in the chair, and I'm right in front of him now for some reason. And then we shook hands, and this is the best way I can describe what I felt in the dream. I felt the strength of the Holy Spirit in me shield me from the spirit that was in him, and then it was like he was shocked that the spirit in him could not be transferred to me. And then I woke up. So I've been pondering that dream from time to time ever since, and the Lord has given me a little bit there, but I felt like a couple of things, you know, that the Lord has revealed to me, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16 and 7. And I just remember, you know, my attitude being right as unto the Lord, and that there was no fear of the enemy at all. It was just, you know, having my heart in the right place, and then the Lord protecting me from what I really needed to be protected from. So that's what I got out of it so far. So if anyone, if the Lord reveals anything else, I'll be glad to learn some more.
Yeah, the only thing I got was, I mean, I saw as far as the director's chair, but I think it's interesting that you felt the Holy Spirit in you, you know, so powerful that it was not, you know, it was kind of repelling whatever the Spirit was on him. And what I got on that was just, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. We just have to know our authority. We have to know, you know, the power, the truth, the gospel, all that. And, you know, it could be the President of the United States. You've got authority over those spirits. It doesn't matter what world title, you know, is given to them or their authority in this world that we've got. You know, they've got, you know, the authority of, you know, he's got the authority of, you know, this country, but we've got the authority of the Creator. And, you know, so it doesn't matter who they are, or what their position or their title is in the world. Doesn't matter what demon they are. Doesn't matter what principality are. We've got, you know, we've got that authority, and we can't go by what we see in the natural. We just got to know in the Spirit, you know, where we stand with the Lord. So that's sort of what I got out of it. Did anybody else get anything else out of that dream?
Yeah, I knowing a little bit about what some of the prophecies are, Obama is God's servant for the hour right now for the United States and the world, actually. He's in the director's chair, as Chad said in the dream that he was. He's the one directing all of this judgment on America. And the White House in the back that is a shadow was a shadow that it's the U.S. that's bringing judgment. This man is bringing judgment through the White House across this nation and actually in the world, too. I know that y'all have heard David talk on ISIS and how it's been unleashed in Europe and also will be here as well. We've already seen a little examples of it. And we feel like that going to be a lot more happening here shortly. So, and Tim's exactly right. We keep our eyes on the Lord and keep filled up with the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about anything. None of that's going to help us at all. Matter of fact, Obama doesn't know it, but he's going to cause a great revival to start. To start in this country and across the world. So praise God for that, you know. God has profitable servants and he has unprofitable servants. And Obama is one of his servants. So praise God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate that, Michael and Tim. And something the Lord just reminded me of, too. It's like the you know, I was just doing my part, which is to guard my heart and to be in the rest. That's something the Lord's really been helping me a lot with and helping me to put to death in my old nature is the tendency to just struggle and strive in the wrong direction. You know, I've been, fortunately, by the grace of God, I've been able to enter the rest more. I've been striving to enter the rest. Learning to direct that striving in the right way more and more to be more fruitful in the putting to death of my old man and so that Christ can just bring himself forth. And I know the power comes from God, has to come from God, and I can't touch it. I can't do a thing, not one iota, to bring it about. And as I was just doing my part to, you know, guard my heart, it's just what was coming out of me. It wasn't a struggle to do that in the dream. It wasn't like, you know, in the past there have been times even in spiritual warfare at times there'd be a mixture of my that strength of the really the flesh rising up and me feeling like I had to get in there and just this sometimes because I get so stirred up. But the Lord's been helping me to really more and more just put that to death and make sure it's him and that it's only him. And so by just doing my part and guarding my heart and having a right attitude, not thinking any evil towards him in the dream. The Lord protected, he did what was necessary, he protected me from the spirit as I was, I believe in that I was loving my enemy, and not, there wasn't any room for the enemy to get a foothold in me to cause me to become a susceptible or a captive to his ways. So, thank you for sharing that. That the Lord just brought a little more light there for me. So, Jerry has a prayer request. If it'd be okay to bring that up now for somebody she works with.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Hello. I work with a third grade teacher named Subi, and she's a Mormon, and was telling me yesterday that she went to, she had to go to the emergency, she couldn't move, and she is able to somehow communicate to her daughter and have her call 911, and she was in that state for about 5 hours, and there is a testimony to this that she realized that it was spiritual, and she kept saying, I am a child of God, and then she commanded, she said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, Satan, to leave, and then she started regaining her strength, and then she was, until she was totally fine. So she was sharing that with me today, and then I went to the office at the very end after school was out, and I happened to see someone on a she was being taken out on a stretcher, and so I inquired a bit in the office about it, and they mentioned that they weren't exactly sure what happened, but evidently something reoccurred. I don't know if it was the same thing that she experienced yesterday. So anyway, she ended up being taken in an ambulance again, and I haven't heard what has happened. But anyway, I just want to just agree, put our faith together to believe for a breakthrough for her, and also to believe that the Lord will take her out of any deception, from being in the Mormon religion. She seems to have a heart, a desire for the Lord, and she claims that she's a Christian, and the Lord only knows where her heart truly is, but I just believe that the Lord's doing something there.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want us to pray?
Sure.
Okay. All right, let's put our faith together. If any, so Father, right now we just we lift up Subi to you, and Lord, we just she knows this is spiritual. She's coming against the enemy. She might not have the fullness of you, but Lord, we just put our faith together with her, Lord. And we pray right now that you will use this to draw her to you, to draw her to your truth, to open up her spiritual eyes, and just we ask, Lord, that you just show any deception that she, that she will see where she's being deceived. We just ask that you just draw her to your truth, that through this situation, that you just, draw her out of the Mormon Bible, and you just draw her to your truth, or whatever it takes, Lord. So, Father, we just know that you can do this, Lord. And right now, we just take authority over the principalities and powers that are attacking her body, and we just bind them in the name of Jesus. We come against any infirmity, and we just call that infirmity off her body now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just, she believed. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to do a work in her, and you're going to bring her into the fullness of you, Lord, through this trial. And we just, we praise you for that. We just thank you for her salvation. We thank you for her renewed mind. We just give her a vision, give her dreams, just whatever it takes, Lord. However you speak to Subi, that you will just, show up to her and just just bring her into your fullness. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Want to pray?
Yeah. Lord, I just thank you that your word says you work all things together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose, Lord. And I just praise you for the good work that you're doing here, Lord, in Zuvi, and that you are and will, Lord, that you will bring her completely out of all deception into the light of pure truth, Lord, step by step. And just keep her, Lord, as she's in the hospital system. Keep her from any, we bind up and forbid any harmful plans of Satan against her in Jesus' name. And we thank you that you're already intervening, Lord, and that you're directing her gaze to the real Jesus, Father. I pray that you would bring that about, manifest that in her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thank you, Lord. Okay. Awesome. All right, anybody else have need any prayer? Share a dream, anything that's on their heart? Well, I guess, Michael, you can, if you want to share that thing that...
I really don't think we have enough time.
Oh, it's that long?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit long, and I kind of elaborated on it a little bit also, so maybe we can do it Tuesday night.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, yeah, because it's going to take, Tim, it's going to take a little while.
All right.
Sorry.
That's fine. So, all right, we got about 8 or 10 minutes. Does anybody else have anything to, any prayer requests, anything they want to talk about, question, testimony, brag on the Lord?
Hey, this is Malcolm.
Hey, Malcolm.
I was really appreciating Gail's the word from the Lord that she got, and Chad and I had been talking a little earlier, and it was kind of along the same line. So, and it was just a real blessing, just kind of a real witness in my spirit on what she was saying. Listen, I got to run. So,
when you say you got to run,
no, I do. Well, I haven't. The problem is, I've called waiting. And I think that's why I get muted occasionally. I'll just let it go.
Okay, that's fine. When you say in the same line,
ahead.
I mean, when you say in the same line, what do you mean by that?
I'm trying to remember what she was saying. It was a real blessing to me, that word that she got, because I think a lot of us are dealing with similar situations that the Lord is, you know, that we're going through, and it was just very encouraging to me. And unfortunately, I can't remember this, all the specifics right now.
So, okay.
Unless you want to,
yeah, that was
kind of question me a little bit. I can't remember.
No, that was fine. I really saw where, you know, where she was. You know, she went to visit the kids, and you know, she just saw where they were and being pulled by the world and the concerns and all that, and then, you know, the enemy had used that to get, you know, doubt, unbelief, worry, fear, and she, you know, she's been in a struggle, because we all get there, especially when we get critical or start judging or get in unforgiveness, and then we're turned over to the tormentors, and then we can't get out of that trial. And until we get with the Lord and repent and, you know, just, you know, see him in it. And then, I mean, he gave her just an awesome, word. So I think a lot of us can really relate to that, you know, where we get our eyes off the Lord and onto the situation, or get out of the spirit and get into the flesh by what we see and hear and that. And so we all go through those trials, and I think that's really where it's, you know, it really touches, you know, a lot of people. So, but it's awesome that we can get together in this format and
yeah, it is
share
it
that.
Is awesome. I think one of the things for me is that I have, it doesn't seem like it at the time, but I feel like I. The bottom line is I tend to murmur and complain if I don't like the situation or what's going on or the unfairness or the, you know. So I don't seem to, in the trial, I don't seem to recognize always that God is, we're going through the promise, you know, we're heading to the promised land here, and this is something that I can just trust in Him and relax. I don't, you know, and work with the Lord instead of fighting what He's bringing, what looks like against me. But He's doing that for a purpose. So, listen, Tim, I better get off the phone.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
I apologize. I have call waiting going, and so when other calls come in, I don't know if my sonorous tones come through on those or not. When I'm on the, I don't hear anything from, you know, when I'm on another line, but you folks might. So.
Okay. No, that's fine.
I ended up being muted, and I don't know why.
No, we don't hear the call waiting or anything like that. But
okay, good.
But that's fine. But no, I appreciate you, you know, sharing that, because I think, you know, it's not just you, Malcolm. I mean, we all murmur and complain when we don't like the situation. We all. You know, part of man's nature is they murmur and complain. I mean, look at the Israelites. But we're learning.
And it's easy to look at that story and read that narrative of what they were going through in the wilderness, you know, and all the stuff. And, oh, yeah, the 10 spies, they weren't, you know, they had the evil report, and Caleb and Joshua, you know, that's really cool. And I'm with them, of course, you know, and then I get in the situation, and then this little different story. Ben, I forget all that, you know. It's now I'm somebody's coming against me. What's this about? That's not right. You know, let's deal with this situation and correct it. So, yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I better get off the phone. So it's good to talk with y'all, and I'll listen to the recording later for the rest of it.
Yeah, I think we all do that. It's just we try to get involved, and you know, we don't see the Lord in it a lot of times, and we got, you know, we get into whatever, trying to make it happen, trying to work it, trying to, you know, make it right, and finally, when we can see the Lord in it, what He's trying to show us and bring forth, then we can. Say, okay, Lord, I get it, you know, so get back in the rest, so I repent, so, all right, okay,
all right, any,
all right, good night, Malcolm. All right, anybody else, Tim?
Yeah, hey, Tim, I had one more thought about the dream.
Okay.
I was just thinking as you know, as I was talking with Mr. Obama, that I had no thought at all as toward him as my enemy, but it was the, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, and so the Lord, you know, He protected me from what I really needed to be protected from, which was in the spirit, and. That's just really stood out to me even clearer now, because I mean, I had no feeling that I needed to. It's like I was on guard in the spirit, but I had no fear of anything in the natural whatsoever. And I just know that, you know, as I get my heart right in these areas and cleanse myself from all defilement of flesh and spirit, that the Lord is my hiding place and my shield. I can. Psalm 119 and 91 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word," and that it's my, you know, He's is our hiding place, and he really does, he gives us peace no matter what the situation. So anyway, yeah, it's just maybe wanted to clarify that a little bit more, that the enemies are only in the spirit realm. It's not, you know, flesh and blood whatsoever. And so I just praise the Lord for that revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we see that other vessel coming against us or causing issues or stirring up situations, but it's really the spirit that's driving that vessel, and that's where we got to get our eyes off the vessel and get into the spirit and come against the spirit that's driving that vessel, and when we can come to that point, and it really lifts off some bondage, because you don't see that person. You see, you know, because we have no idea what their, you know, what their issue is, or, you know, their, where they are, you know, what they're dealing with, what their upbringing was, anything like that. And we just have to see them as a vessel and just pray for them. Amen. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, last chance, and then we're going to close out. Does anybody else have anything before we close out that they need to bring forth or need prayer? All right. So, Lord, we just praise you that you are such a loving Father, that you're working in all of us for your pleasure, Lord. And I just thank you for just the testimony Gaynell brought forth, and I just saw so much of your love in there, just to guide her and let her know, just get your eyes on him, and that's what we all need to do, is just keep our eyes on you, and we just thank you, Lord, for helping us all through these little trials that you bring forth. Help us see what don't have our eyes on you. Just show us our fears and our anxieties and the stumbling blocks that the enemy tries to put in front of us to get us into doubt and unbelief. And Lord, I just ask you, just help us all to stay in the rest, to walk in the Spirit, to see in the Spirit, to discern in the Spirit, and to be led of you in the Spirit, Lord, in all things, and see you in all things. And we just thank you for just all that you're doing in all of us, Lord. We thank you for this time together, that we can come and just share just testimonies and pray with each other and just be in one accord. Because, Lord, there's not many around us that, and have the depth and the truth that you've opened our eyes to, Lord. We give you the glory for that, for just bringing us to truth and allowing that truth to set us free from the bondages, from our past, from our childhood, from the world, lies that were in our head that are being just set free from, Lord. We thank you for just delivering us. We thank you for just healing us, healing our minds, giving us just a renewed mind of Christ. We thank you for just bringing us and working in us to bring us to a perfection, Lord. Perfecting us in Christ, Lord. And Lord, allow us to be a light and to shine on others and to be used of you and just to walk in love and just be intercessors and just pray for the people you're putting in front of us, our family, situations, just to be intercessors, to pray and just see you do the miracles, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for just, you know, Cheryl's testimony of bringing her out of bondage and setting her free, just bringing her into truth, Lord, renewing her mind. And we just thank you for just leading her, you know, to this ministry. We praise you for that, Lord. And we just thank you for just all you're doing, Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you just bless everybody this week. Just help us to stay hungry for your truth. Walk in obedience. Have the heart of an overcomer. Just walk in repentance from the things that you show us. And we just thank you for just this renewed mind. Bless everybody this week. Guide and direct them. And we just thank you for working on their families and answering their prayers, Lord. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It's been an awesome night. And we'll see you all next week. Good night.